Hello and welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. I'm Viv Davis. It's the 31st of January 2014, and today's interview is with Charles Viploche, Professor of International Economics at the Graduate Institute in Geneva and Director of the International Centre for Money and Banking Studies. We discuss the recent special Geneva report published jointly by CEPR and ICMB titled The Padre Plan: Politically Acceptable Debt Restructuring in the Eurozone. The report was co-authored by Professor Viploche and Pierre Paris. I began by asking Charles to explain the underlying problem that prompted the authors to write the report.
The situation in the Eurozone has stabilized since last year when the ECB made its momentous move. So that's good, but the problem remains. A number of European countries are stuck with very large public debts, and so large that many economists believe that it's a dangerous situation, and it is a situation where growth is likely to be mediocre at best over the next decades until these public debts are wound down. So I and many economists and a lot of people on financial markets believe that at some point there will have to be some debt restructuring.
And why is it that debt restructuring is considered to be so politically contentious an issue?
Well, there are general reasons and reasons specific to the Eurozone. The general reason is that when the government restructures, essentially, it robs its creditors. It uses its power of being able to do that legally or quasi-legally, but essentially robbing people. And if the people that you rob are banks, then you can create the banking sector crisis, and that's a serious problem in Europe. So this is certainly a bad habit that used to be frequent and has become less frequent, at least in the developed countries. On top of that, in the Eurozone, given the tight integration of countries, there is a fear that if one country would default, which is another way of calling restructuring, it would badly affect the whole of the Eurozone. It could have financial repercussions on banks across the Eurozones. And it could also affect taxpayers in the various countries of the zone. So there have been two very strong reasons why debt restructuring has been thought of as a no-no. Except, of course, it was already done in Greece in a very delayed and special way. But so far, it's a political no-no.
Okay, so I wonder now if you could move on and perhaps outline for us what the Padre Plan is and how you propose the Padre Plan will address this particular problem.
So in Padre, the two first letters mean politically acceptable. And what Pierre Paris and I have done was to start exactly with your previous question, asking what's wrong with debt restructuring, which is so badly needed, and to design a plan that would avoid the main political resistance to a debt restructuring that we think is indispensable. So more specifically, the plan first is designed to avoid any crisis and not to rob the bondholders. For that, we propose that an agency, which we can discuss later, purchases at face value a given amount of bonds issued by the European states. Second, the way we propose to restructure this purchase is such that there will be no transfer of debt across countries. Our plan means essentially that a country will pay back its debt entirely, but over a very long period of time, in fact, the indefinite future. With these two characteristics, I think we undermine the political resistance to debt restructuring.
So is it like a very big accounting trick where you shift debt away from one place to another place that never has to pay it back?
That's exactly right, but it's a bit of a mischievous way of presenting things. Let me give a bit more of a technical explanation. In our in our plan, an agency purchases a given amount of Eurozone public debt, say half of existing public debt, and then it transforms this public debt into perpetual bonds with zero interest. So you take a country like Greece, about half of its debt is bought by the agency, and it's transformed into something that it will never have to repay. That's a perpetual bond with no interest rate. So that's great. The problem with that, of course, is the agency will suffer losses because the agency will have to borrow to be able to buy this Greek debt, and it will pay interest on its borrowing. Since it will not get interest from the Greek authorities, then it will be losing money year after year after year. So somebody has to pick the tab. And the way we structure our project is that the losses of this agency would be borne by the ECB. And what it means, the ECB profits would be reduced, and therefore the ECB will not serve payments to its member governments, or will serve less or no payments to the member governments. And if you do it right, we can structure in such a way that the ECB will not make payments to the Greek government over the infinity of time in an amount that is exactly equal to the amount of debt that has been destroyed in the thing. So what it means, it's more than an accounting purpose. It means that in accounting terms, the Greek government will pay the entirety of its debt in the infinite future, but there is a big economic impact. If you wipe out half of the Greek debt, then there is no Greek debt crisis. And if you do that for every single member country, there is no European debt crisis, which means you have instantaneously unification of the bond markets. The interest rates are again the same across all countries, and growth is back, and that's the end of our misery.
So is the principal agency the European Central Bank, or the only agency will be the Central Bank?
So this is a very, very delicate political issue. The simple solution would have to have the ECB do it, borrow and buy the debt and deal with the member countries. Now, debt purchases by the ECB are allowed on the secondary market, but it is perceived in many countries, Germany not to mention it, as totally heretic, even though it's not against the treaty. So instead of doing it through the ECB, you can do exactly the same thing through some agency, which we say could be the ESM if its status is changed a bit, so that the ESM would act as a veil protecting the ECB from criticism, or blocking the criticism that the ECB should not be involved in this kind of operations.
Could you explain then why the Padre plan would not have an inflationary effect as other monetary policy measures?
Yeah, so it's an important, very important issue, because purchase of government bonds by the ECB often goes under the term of monetization of the debt. And in history, monetization of the debt has always led to very large inflation, or even to hyperinflation.
Yes.
Now, in our plan, there is no such risk, because the ECB doesn't print money to buy the public debt. It borrows from the market, or if it's an agency, the agency borrows. So in our plan, there is zero, absolutely zero link between the debt restructuring and the money supply. And therefore, there is zero link between debt restructuring and inflation.
I see. So then I guess the question is one of potential moral hazard, in that if debt restructuring can be as painless as you suggest, wouldn't that become an incentive for governments to accumulate unsustainable public debts over and over again?
Oh, yes. That's a big issue that we've given a lot of thought. The beauty of the plan is that it's totally painless, and there is immediate solution to the Eurozone crisis. So obviously, if you can accumulate debt and then get rid of it in such a nice way, why not do it again? So we work out a number of conditions in our plan that would greatly reduce the possibility that governments, or any government, would play this silly game. The first one is that there is a covenant that every country being part of the plan would have to sign that states that public debt should not increase after the plan by more than, say, 10 percentage point of GDP. If a country exceeds this limit, then the agent is obligated, the agent that did the purchase and conversion into perpetuities, has the obligation to turn a portion of perpetuities back into interest-serving bonds.
I see.
And this is a gradual. If there is an excess of debt of 1% of GDP, then the agent has to transform back into bonds the equivalent of 1% of GDP, and on and on. So this is a kind of knot that is designed to strangle any government that would like to play that game. game. The reason why the government would soon feel the pain is that, of course, market reactions would be violent. If a country would be dealt in this way, then it would find itself shut off from the financial market, pretty much like we saw at the beginning of the Eurozone debt crisis. This is meant to be a very, very strong deterrent. In addition, we have a number of suggestions or requirements that governments would have to put in their constitution, serious budget rules, and so on and so forth. So we build up a whole bunch of conditions that we hope would cut off any temptation by governments to play the debt accumulation game again.
Okay, so it's a very neat plan. It's clearly very well thought through, but presumably the successful implementation of the Padre plan would require first the unanimous consent and approval of the Eurozone member governments, and also the agreement of the ECB to act as the principal agent. Do you think this could be really feasible?
If I didn't believe, I wouldn't have written it. But let me take the two parts of your questions one by one, because they are very good. First, let me start with the last. The ECB would have to do something that it has never done and never wished to do. Yes, here in our plan, we are very clear. This is a decision of governments, of politicians, and they have to respectfully ask the ECB to once and only once in the existence of the euro to do something that is not really something that it likes to do or it should do. So it must be very clear that these are political decisions taken by politicians and that the ECB is free to accept or to reject. Second, would governments want to take that step? Well, we are stuck in an unresolved situation with high public debts, and governments are keenly aware of the danger ahead and the risk of mediocre growth with all the economic, social, and political implications. So here we come with a plan that will take away their nightmares. This is the carrot. Will they do that? Well, this is politics. I can never guess politicians. But I've been discussing this plan for quite a while now with Treasury people in many countries, and I have received, let me say, a non-negative reaction. Nobody said, oh, we're going to do it tomorrow, but the impression I have is that they think there is something to it, and therefore, I have a little hope that the idea will progress. It will no doubt be transformed several times over before it gets to be taken, but I have some hope that something vaguely resembling our plan could be enacted one day.
I very much hope this special Geneva report will be well circulated and read by the people who make those sort of decisions. So, Charles Viplosch, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.